Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and that's a little bit of music from guitarist Lee Ritenour's new CD, Rhythm Sessions. It's the latest of some 40-plus albums the guitarist, known as Captain Fingers, has released since his first as a leader in the mid-70s. Rhythm Sessions features Ritenour playing with several of his fellow contemporary jazz legends, along with some younger players, including winners of Ritenour's Rhythm Section competition. The Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society brings Lee Ritenour to Sioux Falls for a Friday evening performance at the historic Orpheum Theater. Also joining the guitarist in that concert is his longtime collaborator, pianist and composer Dave Grusin. And Lee Ritenour is with us on the line. And Mr. Ritenour, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Hey, Carl. Nice to be talking to everyone there.
Are you in the middle of a tour right now, or are you taking a break?
No, literally right in the middle. We were in Washington, D.C. for almost a week and just came back to Los Angeles for a couple days, and then Sioux Falls starts another two-week run of various places.
Now, earlier this year, you were in Estonia and Finland and Russia?
Yeah, and hopped down from Moscow and St. Petersburg down to Jakarta for the Java Jazz Festival there. That's kind of considered the biggest jazz festival in the world now in Jakarta, Indonesia. So that was amazing too. And, you know, I feel very blessed and lucky that I get to share my music around the world these days with a lot of places that I would never figured were, I had fans there, but I do.
You have fans in Estonia and Finland?
Absolutely. Great fans and great music fans in general in that part of the world. Well, you know, especially jazz, you know, it's almost, you know, many people have said this before, but it really does carry more weight around the world than it even does here these days.
Are some of those places that we mentioned, were these new places you played, or have you been there before?
I've been to Indonesia quite a bit and started actually going there in the 80s. Moscow and St. Petersburg was the first, Finland I've been, Estonia never, so... You know, every year there's at least a few new places I haven't been in, but I travel a lot, so I'm running out of new places.
Have you been in Sioux Falls before?
No, that's what I was going to mention. Huh. This is also a first, so that's very cool that I get to see this part of the world in our U.S. that I, for some reason, have not made a connection with before. So I'm happy to be there and have a fantastic band with me, and it should be a lot of fun. I hope the fans enjoy it.
So I imagine that you really look forward to then going to these places that you've never played before.
Absolutely. I always, after the show, I usually sign autographs for CDs and stuff, and I get a chance to say hello to a lot of people, and sometimes I find that I have old friends peppered around the world that I didn't know were living in a particular city, and they show up, you know.
I'm always interested in how musicians first met their instruments. When was it that you were first introduced to the guitar?
Well, it was a long time ago. I'm 61 now, so I started playing the guitar when I was 8 years old, so it's been over 50 years ago. And I grew up in Los Angeles, and, you know, the early 60s was a great time for music in general, but it's specifically the guitar. You know, Elvis was on board. You would see, you know, the folk musicians, and the blues was coming on strong, and rock was right around the corner with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and then Eric Clapton and Cream and all these great rock groups that were coming. And it was a very strong time for jazz guitar, too, the great Wes Montgomery and Kenny Burrell and Jim Hall and Joe Pass and Barney Kessel. And then in Nashville, you know, great country guitar players headed up by Chet Atkins, and then B.B. King and the blues, and Albert King and John Lee Hooker were making strong statements. So the guitar was literally everywhere. And so I gravitated towards it first from a sort of a folk music point of view, and then got very serious about it very quickly.
And with the variety of music that you were just talking about, and I believe you've also studied classical guitar as well.
That's right.
With Christopher Parkeny.
I studied with the great Chris Parkeny, one of the really, truly amazing, this generation classical guitarist. And he was also very young at that time, and he had already gotten his contract with Capitol Records, and we became friends, and I was studying with him when I was around 18. And then went to USC, the University of Southern California, where he also taught, and that was my big connection to classical guitar. So that's a big part of my foundation as well.
What is it that you like about playing the guitar? Can you imagine yourself playing a different instrument and still having the career that you've had?
Well, I don't know about the career aspect. It seems like the guitar and I were sort of bonded from the beginning. I mean, I remember when I was 4 or 5 years old putting rubber bands on broomstick handles with a couple of nails, you know, so the vibration of the string always was the thing for me, apparently. So I guess it was meant to be. And I never, you know, even at 8 years old when I first got the first guitar, and right before that was a ukulele, there was never any doubt about turning back or changing instruments. I do love other instruments. I love the piano. I love the saxophone, and especially the tenor, and I love the drums. My son's a drummer going to the Berklee College of Music, so there's been drums around me my whole career because of the rhythm section in general. But then, you know, in the last 19 years, a lot of drums in my house.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're just talking about when you were a young musician, but today you hold competitions for young musicians. There's the Six String Theory International Competition and the Rhythm Section Competition, and the winners of that competition play on your latest CD, Rhythm Session. What is it that you like about finding young talent and encouraging them?
Well, I really, because I've been doing this for so long now, and I have been lucky enough to have a lot of gifts in my life, and a lot of things have come my way, and most people know today that the music business is much more challenging. There's more terrific, fantastic young musicians trying to find work out there as professional musicians, and there's actually a little less work than there used to be, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But, you know, there's still great careers out there to be had. And so, especially in the, of course we all know about the American Idol type shows where they find the latest singing stars. But as far as instrumentalists, the people just really playing their instrument well, there's not a lot of mentoring going on for that kind of support. And so I did an album in 2010 called Six String Theory, and it was literally that year was my 50th year of playing the guitar. And so I thought, I should do something regarding the guitar, you know, and give something back. So I put an album together of 20 guitarists, all guesting on my project, and really it became a collaboration project. And I had everyone from George Benson to B.B. King to Slash to Vince Gill, you know, a whole host of fantastic guitar players, some of the best in the world. And then I thought, well, what a cool thing if I started to develop a contest with everyone submitting YouTube videos and find a brand new talent to also go on the record. And so we did that, and the Berklee College of Music supported it with a full scholarship for the winner, which was a young classical guitarist from Toronto. And then we... the Yamaha Corporation got involved and other companies, and we were able to give scholarships and some money, and it was just terrific. And this new talent was on there on the record along with the legends, you know, so it was a very cool thing to do. So then a couple years later, I developed it further and opened it up for the rhythm section, meaning the piano, bass, and drums, and that's who was guesting. The winners of that particular contest guested on my new album, which coincidentally stars all-star rhythm sections. Everybody from Chick Corea to Dave Grusin to George Duke to Marcus Miller to Patrice Rushen, just, you know, all sorts of fantastic drummers and bass players and piano players. And so the winners of this contest, one came from Holland, another one came from London, one came from Detroit, one came from New York, and we met in Los Angeles and rehearsed and did the last track on the album called Punta del Sol, and it just turned out great.
Well, let's hear...
We were able to get 4 scholarships for those winners as well.
Well, let's just hear a little bit of that track, Punta del Sol. This features Lee Ritenour, the young musicians from the Rhythm Section competition. Thank you. That's guitarist Lee Ritenour featuring the winners of his 2012 Rhythm Section competition, and that comes from Ritenour's latest album, Rhythm Sessions. The song is called Punta del Sol, and that's a Dave Grusin composition. And Dave Grusin is a part of the band that that you're bringing to Sioux Falls tomorrow evening. How long have you and Dave Grusin been musical collaborators?
Well, Dave has been a friend and a collaborator. I met him when I was 18 years old, so it's a long, long relationship. And he was always not in the public eye as much as behind the scenes, but, you know, a huge film composer in Los Angeles. I think he composed upwards of, you know, 100 films and some very big ones. And, of course, he won an Oscar for one of his films, and he was nominated I don't know how many times. But and then Dave also started this very successful jazz record company called GRP Records, and later sold that to Universal Records. And everybody who had anything to do with contemporary jazz in the 80s and 90s and beyond was on that label at one point. So he's been very giving, too, of his time and generosity, and he really just helped me along, and we're literally best friends. And so I asked him. He wasn't originally on the bill, and I asked him because he lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and wasn't that far of a jump, and he said, yeah, I'll do the Sioux Falls. So we're going to have, you know, 10-time Grammy Award winner and Oscar winner and my buddy on piano, along with a great drummer, Sonny Emery, from Atlanta, Georgia, and great bass player, Melvin Davis, who plays on so many of my projects.
How often do you get the opportunity to play with Dave Grusin live in a concert performance like this?
Well, it's funny. In these later years, again, he was never, because he was so busy in the studios, and now he does a lot less films, and he's kind of, you know, just taking it at his pace, and so it allows him to go on a few trips. And he was in Europe with me twice last year. He went to Japan with me last year. And so he makes quite a few trips with me these days, and so it's nice to have him on board.
We only have a couple of minutes left here, Lee Ritenour, but I just want to mention that the end of this month, April 30th, International Jazz Day takes place in Istanbul, and I understand that you'll be a part of that?
Yeah, that's a fantastic event now that is really growing with a lot of steam. It's April 30th, as you mentioned, and this time it takes place in Istanbul, Turkey, but it's celebrated around the world now, and the broadcast and the live performance is beamed all over the place and literally all over the world. And Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter and Al Jarreau and Marcus Miller and Diane Reeves and Joss Stone and all sorts of people will be performing. And so I've been invited, and it should be a lot of fun.
Now, this is a topic that has actually come up as we've been talking here, that the whole international aspects of jazz, the contest winners have come from around the country, and here, International Jazz Day in Istanbul. Mm-hmm. Jazz, really, we think of it as an American art form, but this is really, do you think of it as an international music with players and fans all over the place, all over the globe?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you look at the schools, the big music schools in the U.S. today, gosh, a huge amount of international population is coming from Asia, from Japan and China and Korea and from Europe. And so many people are coming to study American musical forms, especially jazz. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the art form is so popular. I've been to Japan over 100 times. It's a huge market for me, you know, and it's kind of interesting, you know, after World War II, the Armed Forces Radio, I think, had a lot to do with spreading the jazz big bands and that, which was the popular music of the time. And so especially in places like Germany and Japan, it really took hold. So it's interesting. It's kind of through some strange back door that the jazz music also got pumped up around the world for other reasons.
Well, Lee Ritenour, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Dakota Midday, and we look forward to your concert Friday evening in Sioux Falls.
We're really looking forward to seeing the fans, and hope to everybody enjoys it.
Thank you so much. That's guitarist Lee Ritenour. And along with his longtime collaborator, pianist and composer Dave Grusin, he'll be in concert tomorrow evening beginning at 8 at the historic Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls. That performance is sponsored by the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show, Kevin Curley, Gabe Angieri, and Lee Ritenour. The producer of Dakota Midday is Stephen Zwemke. We had assistance from Nathan Poole. Coming up tomorrow, Kara Hetland hosts Innovation. That's at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Stay tuned. Talk of the Nation is coming up next.